sleep 10 minutes earlier, but she couldn't bring herself to wake the runner and thereby break the spell. Because after months of danger and turmoil, Nora was temporarily at peace, and had been ever since their departure from the holy city of Kakanth. But Nora's ancestors had been bred to sense things that Norms could not. So even as the heavy who was curled up on the seat across from her continued to snore, and Rebo jerked as if in response to a dream, the young woman knew that conflict lay ahead. Partly because the threesome possessed something others wanted, and partly because it was somehow meant to be. The windows were open, which meant Nora caught a brief glimpse of the terrain ahead as the coach lurched up over a pass and began its rattling descent. In contrast to the carefully cultivated paddies the coach had passed earlier in the day, a dense forest awaited them below. The interlocking foliage stretched for as far as the eye could see, and judging from the occasional glint of reflected sunlight, was watered by a serpentine river. Rebo mumbled something in his sleep, and Nora smiled tenderly as she ran her fingers through the runner's thick black hair. His features were even, but a bit too rugged to be described as classically handsome, in spite of the fact that women generally found him to be attractive. The relationship with Rebo had been part of the long journey that had begun on the planet Anafa, and subsequently taken them to Pooz, Ning, Itu, and Thera. What began as a momentary alliance had gradually evolved into a wary friendship, an on-again, off-again romance, and a decision to remain together. For a month, a year, a lifetime. Not even a person of her gifts could tell. Such were Nora's thoughts as the coach found level ground, bounced its way into a set of deep ruts, and was soon embraced by an army of leafy trees. Their trunks were 4 to 5 feet in circumference, and their massive branches came together to form a dense canopy overhead. The thick biomass cut the amount of sunlight that could reach the forest floor by half and caused a drop in temperature. But the chill that Nor felt was not entirely physical. Other senses had come into play, too. Senses that Norms possess, but rarely take full advantage of. What one of them might have experienced as a vague uneasiness, Nor saw as a roiling blackness, and knew the sensation for what it was. Negative energy being broadcast by a group of hostile minds. The sensitive put her hand on Rebo's arm. "Jack, wake up. Something is wrong." But the warning came too late. One of the engines uttered a blood-curdling scream as an arrow sank into its haunch, and a pair of hobnailed boots made a thumping sound as a bandit landed on the roof. That noise was followed by a loud boom as the driver triggered his blunderbuss and sent a dozen 30-caliber lead balls into the undergrowth where the archer was concealed. But that did nothing to protect the coachman from the garrote that dropped over his head, or the noose that began to tighten around his throat. He had little choice but to release both his weapon and the reins in a desperate effort to restore his air supply. "On the roof!" Nora exclaimed as her companions awoke. "Bandits!" Like all his kind, Bo Hoggles had a body that had been designed for life on heavy gravity worlds. That meant he was strong. So strong that he could smash a massive fist up through the thin roof and grab the bandit's ankle. That was sufficient to scare the would-be thief, who was forced to let go of the garrote while he attempted to pry the heavy's sausage-like fingers off his ankle. And that's what he was doing when Rebo drew the semi-automatic crosser, pointed the weapon up toward the ceiling, and fired 2 10-millimeter rounds through the roof. One bullet missed, but the other struck the brigand in the back and severed his spinal cord. The coach rocked sickeningly as Hoggles let go. The body bounced into the air and fell past Nora's window. The driver had control of the reins by then, but no amount of swearing could make the wounded engine run faster, and that slowed the rest. All of which was part of the time-tested process that the bandits traditionally relied upon to bring their prey to a standstill. So, while the loss of Brother Becco was regrettable, the brigands had every expectation of success as the coach slowed and finally came to a stop. What they didn't expect were the people who emerged from the carriage. A heavy, armed with a warhammer, a Norm with a gun in each fist, and a sensitive with a metal-tipped wooden staff. But in spite of the fact that